I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Boothman. Oh, my goodness, you guys. Thanks so much for coming out here at Fontana's for our second week. So we thought we'd start you off with some big news for us.
Yeah.
Big, exciting. You're distracted by Watchmen in the back.
No. Just keep talking. This is great.
No, this is good.
Oh, I love this part.
Do you guys know what happens? I don't know what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't talk about it. It's a spoiler.
Like, I've always loved you. I loved you. I love you. That's the dialogue.
That's
there.
Good.
I think we'll just dub the dialogue to Watchmen. That'll be
pretty
good, right?
Perfect.
So we're pretty excited about this. We've been doing our podcast with the Nerdist since the beginning of the year. They've been very good to us, very awesome. We are rapidly approaching 100,000 downloads for our podcast.
Yeah, that's a many.
And
that means 100,000 people.
Yes.
Like, it's not just, we don't have a database of 100,000 downloads.
Yeah, no. It's been.
Good.
Thank you so much, Boothman.
Thank
really
you. That's responsibility.
That.
Yeah.
Nope. But
you
the show that we have the 100,000 downloads on, we're going to give away 100 of our personal comics.
And by 100,000?
100.
And by our personal comics, I mean me and Justin, because Pete keeps them locked in a crypt somewhere.
Yep.
You're gonna die and be buried underneath your comics.
That sounds amazing to me.
just like a shitty
this is
pharaoh.
Not that show, you guys. This is not the show. This is not the 100,000 download show.
And you're maybe you don't know. It could be.
It could
people
be.
go crazy.
But it's not.
Okay.
But it could be. But it's not. But you guys got to keep coming back all month, and then whatever show that happens on, 100 comics
big
to somebody
prizes.
In the audience.
Yep.
So that should be exciting. You guys excited about that?
I'm excited.
Yeah, also a gift card they're going to get.
Also a gift card for Midtown Comics.
Yeah, or Macy's. We don't know which one yet.
Ooh.
One of the two. It's going to be really exciting.
Time
guys, I'm very excited about the guest that we have on the show. He is the amazing writer-creator of Image Comics' Skull Kickers. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Zub!
Yeah! Welcome.
Hello. All right. You are also distracted by Roger. Yes,
it's visually compelling.
Yes, it's a visually beautiful movie that ultimately is a little empty and doesn't quite capture the graphic novel. Thanks so much for coming on.
I'm really excited. Thanks for having me.
So, Jim, you're doing a lot of stuff. First thing to talk about, of course, is Skull Kickers.
Yes.
So for those in the audience who don't know what Skull Kickers is, could you give the general idea of the series?
Skull Kickers is essentially like a buddy cop movie meets Conan the Barbarian. So, yeah, so it's basically like kind of slapsticky Army of Darkness sword and sorcery send-up. And everything I love about fantasy and everything I love about kind of adventure, you know, stories all wrapped up in one crazy over-the-top comic.
One of the things that I think is really cool about it, and you and I have actually chatted about this before, but the sound effects in the book are really awesome. Can you talk a little bit about how you come at them and what the genesis
can you give
book?
Us a couple of those right here?
Some of our most famous
some of your
sound
favorites?
Effects.
Some of your favorites.
We have a huge village collapsing to the sound effect of property depreciation.
Yeah.
So that we have another one.
And that's
where
a documentary sound effect.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It cuts right to the core.
Yeah.
We have another really famous one of a character sneaking up, says sneaky sneak, and then he up behind the villains and it's imminent violence. So the sound effect of almost like that musical cue you get in the movie of before he's
imminent violence.
But you know, yeah, exactly. But there's that sound or there's that feeling and that tension. So you just create a sound effect for it, give it sort of a narrative cue, and the audience gets it. They know what you're going for, and that's just something fun we wanted to add to the mix. It actually comes from manga, like a lot of old manga, specifically the samurai manga. They would have amazing sound effects, like musical cues, or they would have literally, it sounds like Simon and Garfunkel, the sound of silence. They would have like absolute silence as a sound effect. So you know this is perfect stillness. So they're telling you this is perfectly quiet, the sound of perfectly quiet, or absolute concentration, or stuff like that. And I always found that was cool in Japanese. And so I threw a couple of them in just as a bit of a joke, and I think our second or third issue, and people responded to it. They went nuts for it, and now I try not to overuse it, but when we can, it can really enhance a scene and add a lot of fun to the mix.
How does that affect the pacing from a scripting perspective? You know, when you're putting together the dialogue of the scene and the action of the scene, obviously that's going to play into the rhythm a little bit.
Sure. It sounds weird. A lot of people read the book, and it has a really chaotic, over-the-top feel, but I'm really quite anal about the scripting. I'm really, really specific. I'm very organized about how I tell the story and exactly what I'm doing. My background's in animation, so I have a very visual way of scripting, and I'm always thinking about what's going to fit well in the panels, what's going to pace out, and how you're going to deliver a gag. Even it's a comedy book, and not to brag, but comedy's hard. It has to be clear. It has to pace. It has to deliver on the joke every time. And so even though when you're reading the book, it seems like this roller coaster of unbelievable or chaotic or unexpected things, you have to weirdly plan that very carefully to make it feel like it's out of control. And so I have tons and tons of notes, and I break down that first as a story arc, then as an issue, then a page by page, and then even within that, constantly tinkering with the joke. And then when I get the artwork from Edwin Huang, who's an amazing artist who's doing the series with me, I go over it again and just make sure that all the dialogue, all the sound effect, everything's going to really hit the mark so it's as clear as possible, and it's going to pay off. People are going to laugh.
So you're saying it's a lot of work.
I'm saying we just shoot it off the hip. I don't even know what I'm doing. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Let's talk about the gun a little bit.
The gun.
The gun.
The gun.
For those of you who
don't... So wait a minute. It's a fantasy comic, but...
Right. But there's a gun.
But there's a gun.
What?
Well, and the fun thing was is that when the book first came out, we had one of the characters running around with a pistol, and so people thought it was like a steampunk book, or they were like, oh, okay, so you're going to have a whole bunch of weird tech, or you're going to have like muskets or cannonballs or stuff like that.
I'm proven wrong, I think every comic is steampunk.
Sure,
is
every
that,
comic
fair,
really
right?
is yeah. steampunk.
And every person.
We,
yep. no,
we are
so
all
steampunk,
steampunk
right
steampunk
now. You're steampunk
right now,
yeah.
We're all wearing goggles, by the way, if you're listening
yeah.
at home.
Yeah, we are. And I have gears turning on my nipples.
Yeah.
Whoa.
This is the
old
audio version.
Nipple gears.
And you can't prove it wrong because it's audio. These people live in the audience, they're terrified. They're frozen with fear. So
you're half robot.
That's right. Steam robot.
Yeah.
So we had this gun, and we sort of played it really coy. We didn't really go into it. We didn't explain. There was a couple little stray lines in the first story arc where people respond to it a little bit oddly, but we didn't play up on it. In the second arc, we just turned that up to too ridiculous. So all of a sudden, at one point, the big guy loses the gun. He ends up stashing it in this hotel room. And these guards looking for our two mercenary idiots who are at the core of Skull Kickers, they find the gun and they proceed to not know what it is. So they're literally juggling it in their hands and they're like, is this a musical instrument? And the guy goes, no, it's a pipe. I think you smoke it. And they're literally just tumbling this thing around. And then one guy goes, oh, it's a little hammer. And he bangs it on the table and shoots himself in the chest. At which point it's pretty damn clear no one knows what a gun is. And we've sort of been playing this up again. Organized it, planned it out, and are now paying off on sort of these weird secrets. And that's kind of at the core of the bigger story that we're telling, that not only is it a fantasy story, but there's this weird anachronistic element at the middle, and it's going to build to a much bigger story that we're going to pay off.
Once you introduce the iPhone.
Yes. Yes, the mystical iPhone of fantasy, which we're going to be. It's very deep.
Yeah.
Can we talk? It's representative.
Yeah.
It means a lot of different
Well, the playlist. You got to look into the playlist on the iPhone for cues.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's great. Can we talk about the last issue? Spoil stuff a little bit? Is that all right with you? Or?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
If you want,
so,
if you must. Well, everyone cover your ears. I know you're all here to listen to me. No.
This is everyone at home as well.
Well, just going off of the gun, the thing that kind of blew my mind a little bit in the last issue
it
is you think...
It blew his mind?
It blew his mind, yep.
Blew what?
Mind. It blew your mind.
Oh, that's the gun?
Yep.
I know. You meticulously script all of your questions.
Yes, I do.
It's amazing the way you do that.
They're real good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Your mind was blown.
Yeah.
Yes, my mind was blown.
Husk of a person right now.
The bald guy, not only does he have hair in the last issue, but
yes.
he's also in the Old West.
Yes.
Like, literally the Old West.
Yes. I think everyone assumed that maybe the gun had gone back in time, or maybe the gun was some sort of weird, strange magical artifact or something like that. But the reality is, it's not the gun as much as it is him. It's the big guy. It's Rex. So Rex... Dun, 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 is a cowboy who's traveled to a fantasy world.
What?
And that's dun, dun.
Fuck yeah.
So yeah. it's
that's
Conan the Barbarian meets Unforgiven, basically.
Yeah, basically. It's Conan the Barbarian meets Unforgiven. Yeah, it's Briscoe County Jr.
Hell yeah. Now we're talking.
There's our steampunk.
Yeah, there you go.
That Briscoe was the original steampunk.
The original?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
No, I think steam engines were like the original.
They invented the word punk? They were like, oh, that's a steampunk way of getting around a river. That steamboat you invented.
Stop steaming
there
that,
was
you
some
punks.
Gears and yeah. lenses. so we could get over this rumor.
I drew it for you, Alex. There were very few steam-powered robots doing stuff back in our actual
all
history.
All right, prove me wrong.
Okay.
I think people are going to get the idea I'm writing a steampunk book.
Yeah,
I'm not
writing a steampunk book, I swear to God.
So can we talk more about your steampunk book?
No.
Okay. All right. Actually, we were going to talk about Skull Kickers just a little bit more. You've been doing this really cool thing every six issues or so called Tavern Tales.
Yep.
And Tavern Tales brings in people from the outside. They do stuff in the world of Skull Kickers.
Right.
You have a new one coming up, issue 18.
Right. So, yeah. So we do five-issue arcs. And then what happened was it sort of evolved organically. I really wanted to put out six issues in 6 months. And we only had a five-issue arc, and I was worried that our second arc wasn't going to start on time. So what happened was I decided we were going to do this intermission issue. And so I asked a bunch of friends if they would contribute, and I asked people that I really respect and thought they were really fun. And so I got like Ray Fox, who's the Eisner-nominated guy from One Soul, who's really deep, amazing author, but he's also very, very funny. I know him in person. He's hilarious. He wrote a short story. Brian Clevinger, who does Atomic Robo, one of my favorite comics, he did a short story. Adam Warren did a short story. So we just had this really great mixture of all these different writers and artists jamming and coming up with new material in the world of Skull Kickers with our two mercenaries. And it was just a lot of fun. I thought it was going to be a one-off. People really, really dug it. It was a great way for us to keep the book on the stands, and it gave just something really fun, and it had that intermission quality of, in between story arcs, you get this fun little kooky anthology issue, and people dug it, and it's gotten bigger and bigger as we go. So as you're saying, issue 18.
Yes, issue 18, we don't know what the lineup is yet, and you had a little bit of a contest, right?
Yeah, we did an actual...
You guys have really worked this out.
We did. Real scripted.
Very cute.
This is totally improvisational.
Yeah, it's
back
very
and forth.
Darling.
So in issue 18, we did a contest. We called it the Tavern Tales Contest. And so we allowed outside submissions, writing submissions and art submissions from anyone who wanted to, you know, they had to fill out a little contract thing, and then they could submit their stuff. And we got a crazy amount of entries.
That's
so
awesome.
For an indie, you know, comic like this, we had over 350 entries to the contest.
Oh, wow.
It was intense. Now, the majority of those were writing. We had over 250 writing entries, and then about, you know, it's somewhere around 60 or 70 art submissions for the contest. But it was unbelievable, overwhelming. I mean, you know, you've gone to a lot of conventions and stuff. You know, there's a ton of people trying to break into comics, trying to get their foot in the door. And it was just a really, I think, a really fun way to sort of give people a shot. This is what it's like. You have to pitch your concept. You know, you have to sum up all your ideas and as clean and simple a concept as you can, just a couple paragraphs, a few sentences, come up with something that's going to fit the material and hit your mark, you know?
It's a really nice way to tell 346 people, get your foot out of my door, right?
Well, it was neat.
Get your foot out of my door. I've never heard it phrased quite that way.
The reality is a lot of people say, oh, man, if only I had my shot, or, you know, I can do this, right? And not to be a dick, but to say, okay, here you go.
Here's your shot.
You know, you're on stage, go. And you got your 5 minutes. You got me for 5 minutes. I'll read it, and I'll let you know if it's going to fit the material. Same thing with the art. I did a two-page sample script, and I had very specific visual cues and things I wanted to see. And there's a establishing shot and action and character moments and whatever. And can you draw to spec? Can you hit the mark? And so it was fascinating. It was fascinating seeing people who could draw well but not do good storytelling. Or people who their storytelling was pretty good but they still need to work on, you know, their drawing chops or whatever. And then other people all over the map. But then with the writing stuff too, people who were like basically just wanting to write their own story. Oh, by the way, there's these two guys called the Skull Kickers. And you're like, well, that's a neat concept and all, but that's not really, you're supposed to be writing, you know, it's like, I'm going to write Spider-Man. So Wolverine runs through, does all this stuff, and at the very end he goes, Webhead. You know, it's like that would, I got some pictures.
I love it. I love it.
It was perfect.
I love it. That's great. Right. Yeah. That's how Wolverine got into every comic book ever.
Yeah.
It just keeps running through.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. But so that was really a fun thing to do this contest. And yeah, it was sort of intimidating when I realized how many I was going to get. Now I have to go through all these. And I actually emailed, I had a generic email that I sent back, but I did respond to every single person who entered
that's
the
awesome.
Contest.
Yeah.
That's great.
Even if, it, you know, the majority of them were, no, you didn't get it. But for the people that were sort of in my top 10, I gave them some feedback. This is really good. This is, I think, you know, you did really well. You know, keep up the good work or whatever. Yeah. That's
great. So nice to actually give that feedback to people, because that may be the thing that can really drive them to the next thing. You know?
Well, I think, you know, for, as a creative person who has done the pitching, who has put their work out there, who is, you know, all you want sometimes is communication. Like,
yeah.
It's no is not what you want to hear, but at least you hear it and you understand and you go, okay, now I can move on, or now I can improve, or now I can do something else.
Especially no, but try this,
yeah,
or no, but you're good at this, just fix this.
But just not right now, or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the void. I think it's the unknown that drives people up the wall when they don't hear anything, when they don't know.
Oh.
Did they even like it? Did they even get it? I mean, you know they got it, but deep down you go, maybe they didn't. Maybe there's this thin sliver of a chance they didn't even get it, and I could be
The mailman. Where's the mailman? Yeah. I must hunt and kill the mailman everywhere, the mailman.
For some reason, the email just keeps missing him. I don't know how.
Speaking of who got it, though, I think you're going to announce who won the Tavern Tale contest on the show.
Right, so actually,
today.
We were talking about stuff we can announce here at the show.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very proud to announce, and it's going to be in the solicits for the next previews for issue 18. So our writer is Aubrey Sitterson. He's awesome. Give him
In the house. Not in the house tonight, but that's all right.
Very, very amazing submission. Really, really fun stuff. I can't wait for you guys to see it. The name of the submission.
I hope so.
The name of the submission
like the worst
was,
submission, but
no,
really
the name
good
of the submission
looking,
was
so
Do's or Die, and it's just really, really good. And then the artist who won it, his name is Ivan Anaya, and he's a Brazilian artist.
Give Ivan Anaya. Nice.
Yeah, and that guy is, he's phenomenal. Really, really sharp talent. And I was totally blown away by his sample. So he's working away on one of the short stories as well. It's going to be great.
Cool.
Yeah.
And
so cool.
Can we run down the rest of the lineup? Is that
sure.
okay?
Yeah, that's no problem.
Would you want to do that? Or?
Oh, I got to do it from memory now.
No, it's actually also written
for me. It's right here.
Oh, he's so good to
me. Down for you.
Great. Yeah. So we've got the Chew Boys are going to be doing a short story. So John Layman and Rob Guillory.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I totally arm-barred them into doing it. It was really funny, actually. I was at Image Expo, and I go to Rob, and we were talking back and forth, and we love each other's stuff, and he was chatting, and I said, you got to do a Skullcase short story. He's like, oh, I'm totally up for it. John will never do it, though. John's so busy. Well, he's actually kind of lazy. He won't do it, blah, blah, blah. And then I go over to John. I'm like, John, will you do this thing? And he goes, yeah, Rob's too busy. He'd never do it. I said, actually, Rob already agreed. And he goes, I guess I'm on the hook then. So
nice.
So it worked out. No, we got him. It was really great. So Justin Jordan and Trad Moore, the Luther Strode guys, are doing one.
Oh, yeah.
They're already finished their story. It is jaw-dropping stuff. Like, obviously, Luther Strode's a great, great book. What was really funny was Trad said to me, you know, he's got to hit the monthly deadline on those books. With this, it was a 6-page short story. He's like, I'm going to take my time. Every page is going to be gorgeous. And he sent them to me. They're jaw-dropping. Just unbelievable.
That's so cool.
Artwork. Really, really cool. I've got Jay Torres is writing a short story. And Alberto Albuquerque, he's an Italian artist.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal, phenomenal talent.
Yeah.
Jay's an old friend of mine. He does great, great stuff. And they've got a wonderful little short story. Charles Soule, who's in the audience tonight.
Yeah,
he is. He was on Comic Book Club with you guys a few weeks back.
Yep.
He's writing a short story. And Michael Mayne, the guy that does Bonnie Last for Red 5, he's doing the art on
awesome.
That one. And then I'm very, very happy to announce Blair Butler from G4 is writing a short story.
Nice.
And the
nice.
Artist on that is a guy you've never heard of, but you will. This guy, Enrique Rivera, he's one of my favorite new artists, and he is knocking it out of the park.
We'll hear about him for art or for, like, murder or some other crime.
No, he's just phenomenal.
He's a great
phenomenal
artist.
Talent, right?
Okay, good.
The crazy thing about this book is it was supposed to be a regular-sized issue, and then more people kept coming out of the woodwork, so I kind of begged Image, and they let me do an oversized issue, so we're going to be bursting the seams of the staples. It's going to be great.
Awesome. Very cool.
Super thicker staples.
Very briefly, before we move on, let's talk about this other book that just came out, Makeshift Miracle.
Yeah, Makeshift Miracle, The Girl from Nowhere. So that's my, it's a original graphic novel published by Udon. And it is gorgeous. The artwork.
Are you looking at the back cover because you don't actually know what it is?
I know exactly.
But that's just your name
on
the back.
I just like looking at it. Sorry, you guys should look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Makes a Miracle, The Girl from Nowhere. And that just came out 2 weeks ago in stores. And the artist is Shun Hong Chan. He's an artist from Hong Kong in China. And it's been unbelievable working with him. His work is sensitive and beautiful. It's got this sweeping atmospheric quality. And every time he sends new pages, I am in awe. My words do not deserve such incredible art. It's wild stuff.
Awesome. Yeah,
really
cool. Well, congratulations on all that. And we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the staff.
Yeah, we do.
All right. In the staff, we have each made a pick, some particular comic book we like this week.
And that's all we're going to talk about.
Yeah, but first thing that we're going to talk about before we get to our picks is...
The secret stack.
The secret stack. Now, I'm going to ask you guys before we talk about this. This was kindly given to us by DC Comics. They asked, just because it's not coming out until tomorrow, please don't tweet about it or tell your friends or anything. We're going to post the audio podcast later.
Don't tell your friends. Your friends are going to be like, what'd you do tonight? Do not mention this. Mention everything else.
Don't mention the past 2 weeks. But coming out tomorrow, Before Watchmen, Minutemen, number one.
Yeah.
Mixed silence from the audience. There we go. Here, I'll pass this over to you guys. So, obviously, there are a lot of mixed feelings about this book. People have been very concerned about the
$3.99. Oh, my God.
What?
Yeah, they crossed the line for this one, guys. Yeah. I don't know if that's the biggest thing they did. They crossed the $2.99 line.
But we are going to talk about it, and we're going to talk about the issue, and then you can all punch us in the faces or whatever you want to do later.
Because we read it?
Yeah, because
just
we read
for reading it.
Yes.
Just for reading it. Obviously, I think actually a lot of people would be upset for even talking about it or reading it. For those of you who don't know about the controversy, though you could probably assume it, Watchmen, obviously, possibly the most influential graphic novel of
all time.
Very
popular. I hear they made a movie of it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. But people are pretty upset because they feel like it's self-contained. It says the story. It says everything that it needs to say. You don't need to say anything else. You don't need to publish anything else. There's obviously monetary concerns as well in terms of some people say that DC ripped off Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons.
$3.99.
Some say DC ripped off all of us.
They charged him $4.99, including a digital copy of this, and he is pissed off. But they feel like this comic book should not be made. However, it is being made. It's coming out tomorrow, so we're going to talk about it a little bit. I'm curious to hear what you guys thought about this book.
Pete?
Well,
Pete, kick it off first so you take the brunt.
Yeah, sure.
Pete, as controversial as possible.
Well, first off, Darwyn Cook's art is amazing.
Yeah.
So if you like his art, you will love this book.
Blasphemer.
I read it and I was like, yeah, this is all the stuff I know. Nothing really new here. The last two pages that had the pirate stuff, I was like, yeah, this is cool. I wasn't really impressed with this. I didn't feel like it needed to exist. I feel like for an event like this, I need my mind to be blown, or I have to be like, yes, okay, this is worth
this
all
sense.
The...
You all know, the fighting.
Yeah, all the hullabaloo in this.
There was a lot of hullabaloo.
So you hung all your hopes on this one issue?
Yep.
Yeah. He's giving up. He's leaving
There's more than one issue?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
There's a couple. I think at least three.
Yeah. Maybe four.
I think I sort of agree somewhat with Pete. Like, this is... I actually like this. I like the comic. It stands alone very well. It's, like, well-written, beautifully drawn.
It stands alone very well?
Huh?
Like, you can't say Before Watchmen stands alone very well.
Well, that's my point is, like, if this were just called Some New Superheroes That I'm Writing and Drawing, that would be... I'd be like, oh, this is cool. Like, I would read more of this. But the fact that it's Before Watchmen, I think you already... Like Pete said, you already know what's going to happen. So it's sort of like hearing a series of setups for jokes, and when you already know the punchline over and over again, and it does feel like Watchmen was so complete that this is just sort of like it doesn't give you enough. It's not like it's going to take it a new direction.
Yeah,
it already has the direction. You already know where it's going to go.
And he said he liked it.
Yeah. Well, what did you think about it, Jim?
I didn't get a chance to go through it in as depth because I just got here and sort of checked it over. When I saw this title and I thought the Minute Men, I was hoping it was like Shrinking Violet and the Atom.
Oh, you want to hear some Legionnaire?
But then it's about these other dudes. I admit I was a little disappointed.
This is not the comic you signed up for?
The Minute Men would have really knocked me out. I don't know.
You should take your name off the receipt that you bought this.
I didn't buy this. I've never seen this before. Oh, my God, no. Yeah. It's fascinating to me, the whole concept of what's going on with this stuff. Corporate stuff like this is incredibly complex, you know, and that's not the inflamed emotional answer either way. That's not the this deserves to live or this is a blaspheme, burn it now. The reality is, you know, even the people that negotiated the original contracts for Watchmen or the people that were at DC at that time, everyone looks at DC Comics or they look at any corporate entity and they see nostalgia or they see their youth or they see these properties that they love so much. And I've been working at the Udon Studio for the past 9 years and we've interacted with all sorts of different companies, worked on all sorts of commercial things. And once you work with these companies and you realize This is a rotating cast of people who are in charge, who are making approvals, who are, you know, editors, who are art directors, who are, you know, corporate, who are lawyers, who are whatever. These things become incredibly, incredibly complex. And so in your mind, DC is the same DC it's always been, that from 1986 to this moment, DC Comics should be consistent. But every year, every few months, there's change, and there's, you know, watershed change in terms of people and in terms of policy and in terms of legality and the whole 10 yards. And so it's a huge morass of complexity. And so I'm not trying to do a cop-out answer, but I think it's sort of a disservice for people to go, it's this. It's one thing.
Just give us a name who we can blame for this.
It's so, you know, the blackest of black hearts, or it's the purest of angelic white, and therefore, done. Now you have your side, you know, bunker in and scream at anyone who's coming towards you.
But at the same time, when someone takes on a project of this magnitude that so many people love and hold up as what's great about comics, it's got to be amazing.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not saying, therefore, do whatever you want. I think it's obviously an incredibly sticky issue. And if you're stepping into the ring with this kind of thing, then you've got to understand you're going to be under the most ridiculous amount of scrutiny imaginable.
Yeah.
And some people are never going to be happy no matter what. And some people are just going to literally defend it for all sorts of reasons. It's hard to divorce yourself from the politics of it. It's hard to just look at it as a comic, unfortunately.
But that's what I all that politics stuff, I feel like everything has the politics around it, even though this is like more clear to everyone.
I don't think it really, you know, back before the internet, you would read a fanzine or a letters page, and that's your only interaction with the politics.
Yeah.
Now when someone leaves a book, there's an exit interview, and there's tweets, and there's like a burning swath of death behind them as they walk away from a project.
That's what I'm saying. So, if we can leave that aside and judge this comic as what it is, like, that's what I was saying. Like, I feel like it stands alone as, like, a decent issue, a decent, like, comic introducing these characters. Yeah. But because you already know these characters and what they represent in Watchmen, it doesn't really matter, it weakens it.
I understand what you're saying. I would say, I mean, Darwin Cook's art in here is spectacular, and his layouts are spectacular, and there's an action sequence right in the middle with Night Owl that is incredible. It's
cool.
Stunning to read. So you can't really fault him for that. This is essentially, if you guys remember the text chapters of Under the Hood in Watchmen, this is essentially a graphic novel adaptation of that.
Yeah.
To that end, I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that. I feel like it doesn't detract anything from that book. It's the same thing as somebody writing a work that comments on that work, a compendium or an almanac or something like that. I feel like it shows another perspective and it gives you another understanding of those
things. I think the biggest, you know, the difficulty, the real sticky wicket, though, is like, so if you've got a book that analyzes The Hobbit, right?
Yeah.
Or goes through and
which
discusses.
Which I do.
Right, and there's all sorts of these works.
It's called Hobbit Forming.
Yeah. What, really?
No,
I didn't know that. I thought you were
okay. The Silmarillion.
But you know, generally speaking, either the author's passed away or there's some sort of a sense of involvement in a broader sense. And in this case, you actually have the exact opposite. You have the creative, you know, you have Alan Moore's actively said, please don't. And that's the most awkward part of this whole thing.
Yep.
I think that's the part where everyone sort of feels like they're unsure how to approach it because someone has actively said, don't do the thing. And they're like, this is a love letter. The thing you're doing, don't.
And he has
don't
access.
Do the thing.
He has
and
access
that's awkward.
To curses
like,
and stuff.
That's weird,
he's a dark musician.
Yeah, exactly.
So it is. It's a super complex issue. It's really, really bizarre. Yeah.
Well, we leave it up to you, the audience, whether you should pick this up. But make your judgment off of that.
If it doesn't come with a beard hair from Alan Moore, I'm not interested.
Hot potato.
Yeah.
That's gross. All right, let's move on to Pete's pick, which was Batman Annual Number 1, also from DC Comics.
Yeah.
Probably a little
so controversial this issue.
Because
Bruce Wayne himself tried to get his name off this issue as well, which is amazing.
Nobody cared.
That they reached him.
Pete, what did you like about this?
We have Frost.
Frost?
Yes.
Frost. Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, Mr. Freeze, or as I like to call him, Frosty.
Oh, nice. Good.
Frost,
cute nickname for the
Froster. this is Scott Snyder is doing an amazing job on Batman, doing an annual. And this
an
is like
animal.
It's an animal.
every summer
beer.
They release their animals.
Yeah, but I just feel like this is a really cool kind of standalone-ish from what's going on in Batman. And it talks about Night Owl, but not in a way. Night Owl's not in a way that kind of ruins or spoils anything.
Yeah.
But
Night Owl.
The night of the owls.
Oh, night of the owls.
Yeah, yeah. Don't drink a lot before you get on stage. Is my point. But what I liked about this is it's dark. It's creepy.
I just saw something. What if the big secret at the end of Night of the Owls is fucking Night Owl shows up?
Yeah, and he's like,
did I just blow your minds? Yeah.
He's like, why have you guys been talking about
And then all
the
dimensions just careen. Yeah. Okay, I'm done.
No, that'd be great.
I like this a lot. This was very good. Mr. Freeze has always been sort of a shitty villain, especially. Did you watch the movie with him?
He was great.
Huh? Ice.
Ice to see
Ice
you.
Ice to meet you.
Ice to see you.
Freeze to winter.
Yeah, great. That's classic writing.
There's a storm front moving in from the west, so be sure to bring an umbrella.
Yeah, normally, I agree with you. Normally, it's like Batman just wears something that gets hot, and then he beats him up, and then it's over. So this is kind of a different take.
And introducing
to be fair, Batman in this issue wears something hot and beats him up.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
But a lot of other terrifying shit happens.
Sure. But this story isn't really about that.
That only happens really very
briefly. It's about his mom.
Right, it's mostly about the relationship between Frosty the Snowman and Night Owl.
Right.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Succinct. Mr. Freeze, this is the introduction of Mr. Freeze to the New 52, and I think they sort of, this issue rests on the Mr. Freeze from Batman the Animated Series, if you guys remember that. Great episode of the show. And this is like, he's like, Minora. Where is she? I need to get her out of this thing. And there's a great reveal in here that he was never. I don't know if we should spoil
Just spoiling
it.
Spoiling everything. You spoil my comic. You spoil this comic.
Yeah.
That's what we are. Is
That's
spoilers.
What we do.
If the news didn't spoil shit, you wouldn't learn anything. Oh. Right? So
stuff happens and it's
good point.
Secretive.
Good analogy. And then you find out in here that he.
Yeah, I still haven't watched the last presidential election, so don't spoil that.
No,
for me.
I won't. You should check it out. So you find out that he has a different relationship with Nora, and he also does something super fucked up earlier on. So it's a great comic. Very
you read
creepy.
This book, right?
Yeah, I quite
What'd
enjoyed
you think
it actually. I was impressed how it is self-contained. You could just pick it up, read it as a Mr. Freeze story, but it also has that nice. Tie-in to the owl storyline that they're doing in the regular
Batman
series.
Well, just barely. It takes place. They're like, don't worry, it's not
the
owls.
No, but the nice thing is it does stand on its own as an ice story.
Yeah.
But it does feel
story?
Like, as an ice story,
yeah.
It stands as its, yes.
An ice flurry?
Ice to meet you, yeah. It stands as an ice flurry.
Too much, okay.
So, but it works really well on its own and ties enough back that it, you know, continues some of those concepts from the owl storyline. It's solidly told through and through, and it's got this nice emotional payoff at the end. With the you know, it has an unexpected sort of twist emotionally, and then it just sort of drives it all the way to the end.
It's
cool.
Great, yeah. Flurry out and buy this, because there's no better comic out there.
Oh, my God.
That was great. All right, let's move on with your pick, which was Walking Dead, number 98.
Walking Dead.
Comics.
All right, spoil it already.
Sorry. You want to talk about the book about it?
Yeah, when this is obviously a very good comic, a TV show, everything well-loved. When Kirkman gets the pace up in this comic, it's one of the best on the stands. And this issue and the issue before, it's doing that. Leading up to issue 100, obviously. But, like, a lot of stuff is happening. The characters are, like, right in the moment doing stuff. It's great. And I don't want to spoil too much of it. But it's just there's some zombies. There's some bad people. There's some
spoilers. There's zombies in the... Oh,
when did that start?
They're not just ugly people who don't know how to walk. They are zombies. Big spoiler.
Yeah.
But what I like about this is also the consequences of Rick's decisions are really kind of coming home to roost here.
They are roosting like chickens.
Cool. What I love about Walking Dead.
You can talk about it too.
What I love about
Walking Dead. No, I really can't top roosting like chickens.
Yeah. Roosting like chickens?
Yeah.
I'm going to try and top.
I agree with Justin, though. This is an amazing comic.
Yeah.
What do you think about the chickens?
You love this top to bottom?
Yeah, it was really fantastic, and
if you had one complaint, what would it be?
I'm a little disappointed in Rick and the decision he made. And
which one?
Well, the fact that he was just like, in the last issue, he was like, yeah, fuck you guys, we'll get to you later. And then he's like, oh, I'm just going to wander home, take a couple days to do anything. It's like, what? You know they're coming after you. And then the cockbiting, really?
Well, excuse me?
What? There's a lot of cockfighting in this.
Oh, no, there's
I want to hear what Jim's... Jim, what are you
talking
about?
Top 10 things I thought you were going to say in this issue. Cockfighting was nowhere near that. Yeah. That's incredible. Yeah. The Walking Dead, to me, when people ask me, I talk about comics I read, like, The Walking Dead is an emotional meat grinder. Like, it's relentless.
It's an emotional cockbiter.
It's an emotional cockbiter. What I think is really amazing about it is that it becomes a book where you feel, if you're not reading it month to month, that you're missing out. And that's a hard thing to do nowadays. So many people wait for the trade. So many people like having that nice, solid, you know, collection at the end of the day. But Walking Dead doesn't want to let you get away. It gets you emotionally, and it holds on to you. And month after month, if you're not up to date, you feel like you're out of the conversation. And I think that's a really compelling thing that Robert does. He does it with Invincible, but he's mastered it with The Walking Dead.
Yeah. That's a great analysis.
Cool. All right, let's move on.
Just to say cockbiting.
Let's move on with the last pick, which was Grim Leaper, number one.
Grim Leaper.
Grim Leaper. Now, the idea of this comic is this dude keeps dying alarming frequency.
In violent and amusing fashion.
Horrible ways. His head gets chopped off. He gets sliced in half. He falls in a manhole cover and gets smushed to pieces. And every time he dies, he comes back in a new body and has to watch his own funeral happen.
He doesn't have to go to his funeral. He seems to
be trying to figure out a pattern that he's being resurrected for a reason. And that he's stuck in this loop of constant
death. It's like Groundhog Day.
Well, but it is like Groundhog Day meets Quantum Leap, I guess. Yeah, there you go. So I just sold it for you, Curtis. Yeah. Now you've got the pitch for the movie, guys. It's Quantum Leap meets Groundhog Day, folks.
Great. Yeah. People are going to be like, Quantum Leap?
What was that? But it is. It's a really neat idea where the main character is constantly resurrecting and now trying to figure out this pattern. And just when he's sort of resigned himself to an endless, you know, cycle of life and death, he meets someone else who might have a similar condition as himself.
Yeah.
And what's he going to do about it?
Fall in love.
And they both freaking die.
Yeah. I thought it was really fun, really enjoyable issue. There's also a great backup story in the issue as well that was really enjoyable. I just think it's a good package, and I'm excited to see what happens next with that story.
The tough part, though, is the guy is a straight-up asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a real
so
dick. The guy
tough.
Is a jerk.
Yeah, no, so it's tough something... to care. No, but it's tough to care about somebody who's
no,
an
no,
asshole.
No, but there's a visceral thrill watching
but
him get knocked off.
But then you meet the girl, and you're like, wait, is she an asshole, too? Why do I care about two assholes?
As long as they're both dying in an entertaining fashion.
But they're
going to
go
on.
They're going to go on an arc. They're going to get nicer.
They're going to go on an
so?
Arc.
They're going to arc. They're going to arc
like
together.
A boat. Like a boat trip.
They're going to arc.
You guys are saying different definitions of arc.
Huh? A boat? What is it? That's
yeah,
a,
I'm talking
a
about a boat.
Yeah,
what were you
go
talking
on a boat.
About?
Two by two.
Yeah.
Okay. The point being, though, I think that because it's a miniseries in particular, I'm willing to see it through. You know what I mean? I think that Curtis is a great high concept guy. He really delivers on emotional beats. You guys have read Green Wake.
Yeah, he's a high-concept man.
He's really, really good at it, and he delivers on those things really well. So he's earned my trust. The first issue is compelling and entertaining and has enough unique elements that I'm willing to see it through. So,
all right, very cool. And that's it for the stack. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions, and for that, we're going to go to Boothman of the Man. Oh, Boothman's going to come up here. Yay, Boothman.
Yay. Hey, Boothman, wild card.
That works, too. Cool.
Boothman, maybe.
Hey, Boothman, you got some questions for us?
Sure. I'm not sure if my mic's working, so I got to come up here and bother you guys.
Appreciate it.
I got a bunch of questions.
First, who do you think would win in a fight, Frosty the Snowman or Night Owl?
Well, I don't know what those words are. So
let before Watchmen settle that question.
The rooster, the chicken.
Cool.
The cockbutter.
Okay, first question. If other studios keep making X-Men, Spider-Man, etc., is there any other ways Marvel can get their rights back?
Well, contractually, I think the companies have to let them.
I should just mention we're lawyers, so thank you for asking that question.
Yeah. Well, contractually, the companies have to let the rights fall out of use, so they have to not make a movie for something like 3 years, or not be in development for 1 year, something like that.
Or Marvel needs to publish something that is so similar to almost be exactly the same, but slightly different. Something like the Chitauri in Ultimate Comics were. Ultimate Scrolls. Scrolls are owned by Fox, right? Fox?
They're not owned by Fox.
Right. The rights are licensed by Fox.
I'm also a lawyer, obviously.
Yes. Thank you for coming on Law Book Club.
Oh, God.
So that would need to happen. You need to have, like, Speederman or something like that.
If the X-Men actually just stand up for themselves and say, we refuse to work with this company, we want to work with Marvel, that would work.
Yeah, why don't the X-Men stand
up? Yeah.
Hugh Jackman just break it to Fox and chop everybody to ribbons?
Now, my expert opinion is they have to enter the pit of pain. Fox and Disney must enter the pit of pain, and they fight, and only one may leave. And they get the rights to...
to everything.
Everything.
Wow.
Cool.
I just watched
Who is your champion? That will be the big call, yeah.
I watched X-Men First Class again today. Doesn't hold up, I don't think.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen it multiple times? Anybody? Still good?
The first half is good.
The end is a real bummer.
Yeah, the last act, downhill.
Yeah, terrible. Real bummer. Also, the mutants they chose, questionable upon a second viewing. No? Yeah.
Darwin? Darwin's great.
He's murdered instantly.
I know.
It's very stupid.
That's where that movie starts to go downhill. All right. Yeah. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Are there plans to turn Skull Kickers into a video game?
Oh, Yeah, I have plans for that. I don't know if you do.
I would also love to have plans for that.
Yeah, I'm actually working on it on my TI-85.
Excellent.
Okay.
Very excited.
Yeah, real basic.
Skull Kickers, we've had some great conversations. We're being repped by... Surge Licensing. They're the guys that actually used to rep Eastman and Laird on the Turtles.
Oh, boy.
So they've got a really good base for this kind of stuff.
All your characters are going to be replaced by aliens for the video game movie.
No, but they also, they're repping Axe Cop, and they just placed it at Fox. So they've got a good handle on stuff. We're having lots of good conversations, and I am hopeful.
All right.
Yeah, hopeful about all sorts of cool stuff.
There we go. Do you have an ideal way you would like to see Skull Kickers? Animated, live action, movie, TV?
Because my background's in animation, I would love to see it animated. I think it would be a lot of fun in that medium. But I'm not super set on any particular thing. I would love to have a brawler beat-em-up video game. And as the series goes on and we introduce more and more ridiculous elements, I think that's going to – the fodder for that will become very, very clear. Yeah. So, it would be a lot of fun to see that kind of thing happen. It's weird to me because when I'm working on the book, I'm focused on making the best comic I can. And when people talk about media stuff or whatever, you just sort of zone it out and go, whatever. That is what it is. My focus is on making a great self-contained comic. And if I can do that, then the rest is, will come or it won't. And that's the only way you can keep sane with any of this stuff. So
yeah.
Cool. All right. Raise your hand if you asked that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question. Whoop.
All right, this kind of goes in the same vein. Which DC character do you want to see in the new fighting game, Injustice: Gods Among Us?
Oh, okay. For those of you who don't know, there's this new game coming out called Injustice: Gods Among Us that kind of casts the Justice League as bad guys. It's done by the guys who did Mortal Kombat, so it's expected to be super violent, super extreme, and you can watch Superman rip Batman to pieces.
Super extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're asking me what character I want to see?
Sure, just anybody, I guess. What character would you want to see in Injustice?
I want to see all the Watchmen.
Yeah?
As unlockable characters. But
it's in canon.
Oh, gee.
Yeah.
No.
Every fight
matters. I got it. I want the Watchmen toaster as an unlockable character.
I was going to say, I want to see you could have Watchmen fight Alan Moore.
Yeah. Oh. Alan Moore would be the perfect gift. Character. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry?
That's terrible. Huh?
Right, no, he would love that. Do you guys have anybody?
DC character to see in there? Fighting for his or her life? I don't know. What do you think, Pete?
I don't know. I mean, it would be if that's...
Alan Moore Swamp Thing?
Ooh. Alan Moore as Swamp Thing?
Yep.
Okay.
The Alan Moore Swamp Thing holding hands and fighting the entire time.
Cool.
Done.
Great. That's you.
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Who is the best writer currently working in comics, present company accepted?
Wow.
Best writer currently working in comics.
Yeah.
Scott Snyder.
Yeah.
Pete, who's your favorite writer right now?
Scott Snyder.
You have no more choice to say.
Good choice.
Yeah. Popular choice.
Geez.
Because of his just Batman or...
Yeah, because of Batman and the work he did before on Detective Comics. It was amazing.
Yeah, what do you want?
No, sorry. I don't know.
He wants you to justify.
A lot of times we talk about stuff for more than 1 second on the show.
Nope.
Yeah, not me.
Not after you've been drinking.
About you? Have a favorite writer?
My favorite writer is Jeff. I will say no more. Jeff.
Somebody named Jeff.
Nope, any Jeff. Cool. All Jeffs.
All Jeffs.
Is there a Jeff here?
Yeah, my favorite writer is a guy or a girl.
Yeah, good.
One of the two.
Good answer.
That's hard to answer. It's very hard to answer because it's very specific to the title. There's so many writers I like for so many different reasons.
I'm trying to think. I feel like whatever makes it to the top of my stack every week is every week or month is what I
mean, things like maybe Mark Waid right now. Probably. I just think he really can do no wrong. Daredevil's amazing.
Yeah, what's the comic
is great.
You're most excited about to get it on Wednesday?
Daredevil, I guess.
All right. Is it really?
I love Daredevil right now. I think it's pretty much a perfect comic book.
Yeah. I got to say, this always makes Robert Kirkman's Walking Dead makes it to the top of my stack every
Anything Jason Aaron does, like Scalps or anything?
Scalps.
Jim, what about
you?
Guys have named a lot of really good people,
Hill.
So I don't want to repeat anyone that you've said. Above and beyond those, I actually think Brian Clevinger is phenomenal. I think Atomic Robo is one of the most accessible, entertaining, and joyous comic books being put out every issue.
I will say I was crazy late to the party on that. People kept saying to read Atomic Robo. I finally started reading it in the past couple of months. It's great.
He's unstoppable. He's so great. There's either him or Joe Hill. I love Lock and Key.
Yeah.
So phenomenal. So phenomenal. I don't live in New York. I would have been here drooling. It was so good. Anyways,
nicest
guy. Glad you weren't here.
We were all drooling.
No, but seriously, Brian Clevinger is phenomenal. You know, a lot of people talk about comics. How do we get new readers? How do we get people in the door? And I think Atomic Robo is that perfect book. You can give it to anyone. They can get into it. It's really easy to understand, but has a complexity of storytelling and emotion. I think he's great.
All right. Yeah. Very cool. Okay, raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. And for the rest of the questions, it's going to be a lightning round. So first answer is always correct.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Lots of pressure.
Why are women so fucking crazy?
Oh. Wrong.
Oh, good. Glad we added it to the stack.
Great, great.
Wrong. The wrong. The answer to that is wrong.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Okay, good.
Done.
Why are men so crazy? That's the real question.
Why are you so scared of women? How's that for a retort?
I don't even want to ask that, but let's talk after the show and hash this out.
Do you know a lot about women?
Yeah,
I know a lot about women.
Really?
Yeah, they have very pretty hair, and that's all I know. Let's get the next question.
Their hair makes them crazy.
Who is better, Garth Ennis or Warren Ellis? It doesn't say writer, so who is better?
Who's a better person? Man? Wow, that's tough.
Jeez. Garth Ennis probably sleeps slightly more than Warren Ellis does. I don't know if that makes him better.
Well, being well-rested is important, I guess. Oh, you guys should know Alex watches them.
I do. Actually, no, here's the thing, though. I mean, I've talked about this before, but Warren Ellis, every single script he writes starts with somebody being like, oh, jeez, I need more coffee. Oh, my God, I need more coffee or a Red
Bull. Really? Every script?
I read Extremis over the weekend. Iron Man Extremis starts off with Tony Stark being like, I need more sleep. I got to get some coffee.
Yeah.
Same with any comic. Read any Warren Ellis comic book. They always need coffee.
Talk to
any
human. Everyone's tired. Get a coffee.
All right. I don't think
this show is sponsored by coffee.
I think Warren Ellis.
Great.
I will go on.
Garth Ennis.
Next question.
No answer?
No. There is no answer.
You don't want to make a friend or an enemy. Or
that's
what,
right.
What letter?
Because right now, Garth Ennis and Warren Ellis are hovering over their computer. Yeah. If whatever Jim says,
they're about to delete your email. They're about to delete your email.
What letter do you like better? Do you like N's or L's?
Oh, yeah, that's a good N's.
I think
L's?
They're the same person.
Good answer. Good. Let's get the next question.
Chicken or pork kebab?
I think we've pretty well established on the show chicken.
No way, pork, 100%.
100% pork.
100% pork.
If it's just regular chicken or a kebab, you know, I mean, you can go with kebab.
You're saying, no.
Chicken or pork kebab.
Yeah.
Oh.
What about kebabs. Shawarma?
Yeah. Wow. That's just a pile
Avengers
of meat.
Avengers callback.
That didn't really work.
Shawarma fans. Oh, yeah. Avengers callback?
All right, nice. Last one.
Last question. Why is this night different from other nights?
Because
tonight we can recline.
Excuse me?
Where are my Jews at? Thanks.
What is that? Wow, that was the most forced applause I've ever seen out of a crowd of people. What does that mean, real quick?
I'll tell you when you're Jewish. All right, guys, we're going to move on.
When's going to happen?
Never. We're going to move on to the next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Woo-hoo!
All right, very quickly, in the Week in Geek. We're going to talk about some geek culture topics. Things happen elsewhere in the world of geek. First thing we're going to talk about, this news that just came out. There's a mystery Marvel movie that was happening at some point in the future. Rumor says that that now is going to be a Black Panther movie.
You said mystery Marvel movie?
Yeah.
In the Mighty Marvel manner?
Excelsior. Yep. That's how I talk now.
Awesome.
Yeah. What do you guys think about a Black Panther movie, and what do you want to see out of it?
It would be amazing. Why not?
The Black Panther, good answer. Yeah, you want to see him in the Black Panther movie? Great. What else?
Well, I don't know. What sort of is he going to be running Wakanda? I feel like what's the best Black Panther story? Does anyone have a favorite? I've never really
look,
been
if
like,
you would
oh,
have
man.
Said what's the best Blade story, I don't think you would have pulled what they pulled out for the movie. So I think that as a character, if you just look at him as a character and as potential, I think there are no bad characters. There's only bad stories. So in terms of character and in terms of potential, sure, I think a Black Panther movie would be awesome. I think it would be – if they keep doing what they're doing, and Marvel's done a phenomenal job at finding directors who are passionate about the material – and they cast really well, and they get people who are charismatic and are engaging with the material, then they can make it work. They can make it sing.
I agree completely. So let me ask, if there are no bad characters, only bad stories, what is a good Black Panther story that anyone someone can pull from their memory?
He's a king who's also a superhero. That's kind of fun.
A king?
Yeah, he's a king. So he has to balance being a king with being a superhero.
Is this an existing story, or is this something
this
new?
This is who Black Panther is.
Yeah, yeah. But is that an act? But name
that.
That's not a story.
That is the backstory.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just saying, like,
he's going to fight Claw. Does that make you happy? He fights Claw.
No. Yeah.
There's lots of vibranium.
If we can't name a Black Panther story, why are they making a movie of it?
Stuff vibrates.
Well, I have to imagine he was in the Vibranium Vendetta, right? Which is, like, your favorite thing of all time.
He wasn't a main character. No, I just think it's weird. I worry for Marvel's future. They keep choosing these characters that they're like, these are the movies we're going to do. And I'm like, I don't know if anyone has their, like, what are their favorite stories you want to
see? I'll be the devil's advocate. I don't think Marvel's worried.
No.
If you were Marvel right now at the box office, I think you feel pretty good about your judgment.
Sure, but I mean, movie people are always worried. Avengers was successful, they need to replicate that again and again and again. So, like, a Black Panther movie, I don't know what the story is that they're going to be like, this is definitely the one that everyone is dying to see from the comic book world. Because that's where they look to the fan base to really be the first watch, the first people that
I
really
I think that what they need
the
to do, they
there.
Need to break out of their A-list characters and go to those B-list characters. So you have, like Blade or whether, you know, when they have Ghost Rider or any of those characters who maybe you wouldn't, as a comic book fan, think, hey, this guy can't hold up a movie, but you'd be surprised if you have the right material, what you can actually, because the public they're not biased. If you just make a great movie and you say, this is a superhero, this is a great superhero, and you run with the ball properly, I think you can make it great.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, like, I'm sure someone could take the Black Panther character.
Let's be honest. Iron Man was not what most of us would consider an A-lister. When that movie came out, most of us would not say, Iron Man's the greatest Avenger of all time. That movie came out, and you're like, I love Iron Man. I never loved Iron Man like I love Iron Man now, because they were able to distill all these great concepts into a really, really entertaining film.
Totally. But my point is, like, with Iron Man, like, what are your favorite stories? Demon in a Bottle, Armor Wars. There are things about characters like that you're like, I love that.
For Black Panther, Panther in a Bottle, Panther Wars.
Great. Both
really Panther good. Wars. Good
stuff. Panther in a Bottle is crazy because how'd they get it in there?
I don't know.
It was such a tiny bottle.
All right, let's move on. One other little piece of news that came out today. In terms of the sequel to X-Men First Class, we've been talking about what that's going to be for a while. Apparently, Fox registered the name Days of Future Past, which obviously means
Holy
a lot to X-Men
shit.
Fans. So now people are guessing that X-Men First Class 2 is going to be X-Men Days of Future Past.
X-Men First Class 2 is the weirdest title.
It's a terrible title.
X-Men
so,
Coach. X-Men
First
second.
Class. People are wondering
second.
What's going to happen and how that's going to be based on it. The rumor, big rumor I've been reading today, that's a way to get Hugh Jackman playing Wolverine into the X-Men First Class movie. He travels back in time, or he travels forward to the future, and he's in it. What do you guys think? Do you want to see a Days of Future Past movie?
Hell yeah.
Nope.
What? No?
Cool.
Why?
And that's fandom right there.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Nope. Done. We
Why
just
not?
Answered
it's
every
such a cool
fan question.
Line.
Perfect.
A lot of, it's like future stuff, a lot of like crazy stuff happens. Like alternate future.
What do you want to see then? What do you want to see from X-Men First Class two, Part 2?
I don't. I'm done with
class.
The X-Men. I want to see Black Panther. I want to see...
You want to see Black Panther?
Yeah, yeah. I want to see Moon Knight. I want to see other stuff.
Gotta get that Moon Knight movie out there.
Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
See, we can all agree on that.
I think we could all agree that we're going to go see every
comic book
movie.
By the hoary host of Hoggoth.
Yeah. Yeah, hoary.
All right, and that's it for the Week in Geek.
Woo-woo!
Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Peter LePage.
Oh, Mr. Right. Pete LePage.
Guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Simply raise your hand. All right. Yes, you first hand up guy. Come on up here.
Nice.
Come on up and join us. Take off your backpack. Stay for a while. What?
Take off your pants and stay for a minute.
Come on over here. What is your name?
My name is Paul.
Paul, audience. Audience, Paul.
What's up, Paul?
Hey.
How's it going?
All right, Paul. So, here, let's move a little bit forward so you have room to move. There you go.
Don't touch the Minutemen.
All right, cool. So, that's the gift card that you maybe will win.
Hypothetically.
Yep, and how this is going to work is I'm going to read you three questions. For each question, there's three possible answers. You go three for three, gift card is yours. Today's trivia is on skull kickers.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Here we go. Question number one. Thank you, Boothman. Use the music. It'll help. What is the name? Just name one mercenary in the comic Skull Kickers. Is it A, Hank? Is it B, Death Skull? Or is it C, they don't have names?
Wait. Is this a trick question?
It is a trick question. It is C. You are correct.
Nice.
They don't have names. Okay, here we go. Question two. Don't get cocky. Focus up. Skull Kickers launched in September of what year? Is it A, 2010, B, 2009, or is it C, fuck the police?
Whoa.
So it's either A, which is the correct answer, or it's B.
Does C work, Pete?
No, C won't work.
A.
A is correct.
Nice.
Okay, so these two mercenaries, this is the last question. You get this right, you get $25.
Awesome.
Okay. These two mercenaries are in the search of what? It's money, fame, and blank. Is it A, booze, B, adventure, or is it C, comfortable shoes?
All of them.
So it's either A, which is incorrect, or it's B, adventure.
B.
B is correct.
Nice.
$25 free. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nice work. We'll take this mic back. Give it up for one more time.
Well done, Paul.
Yeah.
All right, guys. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I can't remember. Give me a second.
Cool. Justin?
A lot going on. Never thought of anything. Give me a second. No, I'm looking forward to Invincible Iron Man. I think it's been a great great series so far, really getting into the character outside of all the event stuff that's been going on. And Iron Man has really been under fire, so it's been really good.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to Dark Avengers 175 is coming out tomorrow. This is from Jeff Parker. And
175 issues of that?
Not really. It just changed over from Thunderbolts.
Okay, I was like,
but there's a new team. The team has been writing it and drawing it is fantastic. Okay. It's bringing in like dark mirrors of the Avengers. And they've been doing such a great job on Thunderbolts. I can't wait to see what they do next.
Sweet.
What are you looking forward to, Jim?
I'm really looking forward to The Activity. Nate Edmondson's espionage military series. The first trade paperback comes out and it looks amazing. Yeah. Mitch Gard's doing just incredible artwork. Nate writes the best intrigue espionage stuff in the business. It's wicked. It's a great, great book.
Yeah, and plug some of your stuff. What should people check out?
Oh, if you want to check out my work, you can find Skull Kickers at skullkickers.com. You can find Makeshift Miracle on makeshiftmiracle.com. I'm writing some comic strips for Namco, the video game company, at shiftylook.com. And you can find me on Twitter at Jim Zub.
I talked about it, and we figured out what it was.
I would like to add, it's hilarious. When you go to skullkickers.com,
yes.
When you click on About, it's the about the comics, two sentences long. It's like, oh, man, I want to hear so much about how Skullkickers yep. came to be. And it's like, two mercenaries, they get going crazy adventures. Check it out.
Yeah, it's really straightforward.
What more do you need to say?
When I'm at a convention and people walk by, you only have a few seconds to pitch them. So usually what I'll say is have you heard of Skullkickers? Yes, no. It's like a buddy cop movie meets Conan the Barbarian. They chuck or whatever. Go, if you like Army of Darkness, you'll like this. I'm at a comic convention. It's rare that someone goes, fuck Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
So at this point, I pretty much got you. It's at that point, we're having a conversation, so.
Cool. And a lot of bankers' conventions, they really shit on like cult favorite movies.
Army of Darkness.
And yeah. My answer is Epic Kill Number 2.
Ah, there you nice. Go. Thanks, Pete.
Nailed
All right, a couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, Ben McCool is going to be back.
Awesome.
He's the writer of Choker and Pigs and many other excellent titles. And
you don't have enough alcohol in this building for Ben
That's
McCool.
What I was about to say, is he could drink more
drunk.
Than anybody here. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Pete, you want to plug some stuff?
Yeah, friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
He's on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Yep, check us out at comicbookclublive.com and also nerdist.com where we have the audio podcast. A couple of people want to thank before we go. We want to thank Jim for being on the show.
Yeah.
Boothman. We want to thank Fontanez for having us here. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every 7 p.m. every Tuesday night. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
One, two.